Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Koslovich.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning, Chris Vandercook.
This is one of the most interesting of the ongoing local debates, and it certainly is ongoing. Let's give it that, yeah?
Well, that's true, and we're not going to stop talking about GMOs anytime soon.
No reason to.
Well, certainly not so with what we've seen even over the last week or so with that New York Times article.
Yeah.
And there will be many, many more as the eyes of many in the country and certainly worldwide are focusing straight on Hawaii. So let's get to it. Yeah, it may be a new year, and for a lot of people, it's a time for new beginnings. But for the group of folks who would like it to be an end of GMO food, they'd like it to be an ending as well. The movements in many communities around the state continue to press for the expulsion or greater regulation of GMOs. One of the longtime voices in the discussion over GMOs is UH Extension crop specialist Hector Valenzuela. He's speaking on a panel this evening, and he joins us by phone now. Good morning.
Good morning, Bethan. Thank you for having me.
Nice to talk to you again. Now, you know, Hawaii has had a fight over GMOs. It seems like it's been going on now forever, and it's certainly gone far beyond our islands, and we mentioned a moment ago, just this week there was that lengthy New York Times article. What's your read of all the attention that Hawaii is getting? Is it helping, or is it just sort of mucking it up even more?
It is great to have this level of discussion, and it is great to see that the discussion has broadened at the national level. However, we talked earlier about the narrative of the discussion, and it becomes troublesome when the narrative becomes defined by the line that the industry is trying to portray or by those that are promoting the technology.
Is the line of the narrative also being shaped by those who don't have enough information? I mean, you're a scientist, you're attached to UH and CTAR, and clearly GMOs have played a part in your department.
Correct. It is difficult for the general layperson to figure out what's going on because there's so much background noise about the issues, and of course there is a lot of extreme positions on both sides. But when it comes to the power of relay information in the public sphere, we know that the industry has a lot of resources. And as we have seen with this New York Times article, Amy Harmon's position almost reflects line by line the industry position, and that becomes a little troublesome.
Specifically what? Articulate that.
Just a couple of examples. For example, the perspective that those that promote crop biotechnology are on the side of science, and those that are against it are against science or are not following science. And that is somewhat preposterous because there's respectful scientists on both sides of the issue that are raising these questions, and it is part of science to ask questions about the safety. It doesn't mean that you're against it. It's just you're asking about the science.
We also have seen in many cases where people have said, well, yeah, my science is better than your science, and the infighting with scientists. Or is that just a public perception?
It is part of the debate that people say, well, there's science on both sides. However, I go back to the industry narrative. When they are able to affect the narrative, and this comes with a conflict of interest. When research is put forward, but it's research that has been funded by industry, so that research is confounded by a conflict of interest.
Journalists are often told when they're studying to be journalists, you need to consider the source. With a lot of these studies, that applies as well, doesn't it?
Correct. So we saw this with the tobacco industry. We know that when there was a lot of questions about secondhand smoking and so on, the tobacco industry funded a lot of scientists to do research on alternative, what other causes could be causing these health disorders, and their focus is to try to create uncertainty about the health risks of the product that they're selling.
When you talk about extreme positions, we've been hearing lately things like, well, GMOs are linked to autism, and yet looking for some of those studies seems to be a little sketchy. Do you draw the line at some of what's being said?
Yeah, you have to be skeptical on both sides. But the problem from the public's perspective is that they are in the dark because there haven't been independent studies to evaluate the safety of these products. The products are unlabeled, so it's difficult to conduct post-marketing studies. So the public is in the dark, and they are observing that several diseases have spiked up over the past 20 or 30 years, and they're saying, could these be caused by GMOs or by the pesticides that are used to grow these crops?
But that idea of pointing fingers and saying, you know, this is causality here, the GMOs, doesn't seem in some cases to have real studies behind it, as you've just said, and needing to have independent studies. And many people have called for those independent studies over time. Do you think we're ever going to see that happen in the very near future?
I think this level of discussion that is increasing in the public is probably going to bring about this type of studies. But I should just point out that with the link to autism, there is research. Dr. Senef has done a review linking the use of Roundup and its effect on microbial activity in the gut and also in the soil. And we know that microbial activity affects cytochromes and enzymes, and these may have an impact on nutrient access, which in turn may affect some diseases such as autism. So I'm not ready to make a conclusive remark, but it's something that we should be looking at.
She's coming in from MIT to be on the panel with you tonight, but as you say, you're not ready to make a conclusive remark that this is so or isn't so. How do we get more independent studies to be able to see conclusively whether these things really do cause what some people believe they do, or whether this is just looking to, you know, load the basket with as many terrible things that GMOs could do as possible? How do we get something real?
Well, this comes back to the article by in the New York Times, and she's portraying councilperson Iligan as the sole person looking for the facts. But it's actually the other way around, because when independent scientists step up to ask questions or to want to do research about the safety of GMOs, they are marginalized, they are attacked based on a integrated industry program to disqualify them. So it is it's difficult for independent scientists to step up and conduct that research. And the industry controls the seed. They can control, say, well, you don't have access to my seed, so you cannot conduct this research. So we really have to open the doors to allow for young researchers or for research in general to conduct independent research.
What do you think it says about us as a society that we seem to castigate the search for question or the search for answers in asking the questions that you've just articulated?
Well, we have such a drive to develop solutions based on technology instead of what is best for society. And we have such a drive for profits that the university is becoming privatized. We're encouraged to gain patents and so on. So when researchers come up and stand up against this tide for profits, it becomes troublesome to administrators and to the system. But society has to step up and say it's important that we create products that are safe for the environment, that are safe for health, and we need independent research on both sides.
Well, let's hope we get some of that soon. Thanks so much for joining us, and good luck with your discussion tonight.
Thank you, Bethann.
Dr. Hector Valenzuela is an extension crop specialist at the University of Hawaii's College of Tropical Agriculture and Human Resources. He's part of a panel discussion this evening, and the details are on hpr2.org. At 8:13, you're in on the conversation on statewide, member-supported HPR2. Coming up, mysteries at the top of the world. Now, a sound synonymous with Hawaii in today's Backyard Quiz.
Umulokai, ulanai, umau, ukaho olabe, ohangaini.